This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. The dicamba story made the Wall Street Journal because of its impact on Monsanto. The story says that Monsanto believes that 20 million acres of soybeans grown were dicamba resistant this year. As noted, there is strong demand for this technology wherever Roundup Ready resistant weeds are a problem. There are no other good options to kill them. As such, the company is strongly defending their technology, claiming label instructions must be followed strictly, including use of special nozzles. One farmer claimed that if followed religiously, that he had 1.5 days this year when it was safe to spray dicamba. The old Banville used to pick up with humidity days after being sprayed and moved to crops across the road. The new formulation is supposed to stick to plants. Farmers who have used the product on the crops are satisfied. The problems come when neighboring fields of soybeans that are not dicamba resistant catch the drift. Monsanto has a way to fix that. Sell everyone dicamba resistant soybeans next year, and if there is drift, there would be no damage. Two different sources told me that Asgrow only has a couple Roundup Ready varieties for next year. They are planning on selling mostly dicamba soybeans. In other words, through this process, they can force farmers to plant dicamba soybeans in order to protect their soybean crop from the vapor kill. One source called it a marketing program. Insurance companies are going to get drug into this controversy. They may opt not to cover dicamba damage depending on what they decide the liability is. Okay, so Monsanto Roundup Ready technology gets so overused that resistant weeds develop, which Monsanto decides to fix with dicamba-resistant crops, which are a potential threat to those nearby who do not grow dicamba-resistant crops, which means that all farmers have to buy dicamba-resistant soybean seed from Monsanto. That is the way that a lot of farmers are seeing this. On grains, Dr. Elwin Taylor confirmed to me that the Western Corn Belt drought is not Enzo-related. The Southern Oscillation Index is between neutral and El Nino, which probably doesn't make you feel any better if you are in the drought area. Low pressure in the Gulf of Alaska is associated with Corn Belt droughts. Taylor says that there are some characteristics similar to 1988 and 1983, but this is a weaker version of those problem years. The good news is that the low in the Alaska Gulf is not locked in, which is why the ridge has been moving around. While we are forecast to get a blast of heat next week, as long as the low keeps moving, the ridge should retrograde again. The position of the ridge determines who gets rain. If the low in the Alaskan Gulf doesn't move for 6 days, then there is a good chance that it is locking in, something else to watch. He says that there have been some moisture flowing up from the Gulf of Mexico. Dry does beget dry, however. By that I mean if you have been wet, there is evaporation and there is a higher chance of rain. Taylor says that if there is a 50% chance of rain if your soils are wet, the actual rain chance is 80%. Conversely, if the rain chance is 50% and your soils are very dry, the actual rain chance is 20%. Drought then feeds drought. Taylor has not yet conceded a trend line yield, and neither did USDA. There has not been enough rainfall yet to stabilize crop conditions, so rain should decline again next Monday. If the hot, dry forecast for next week plays out, then condition ratings will decline again the following week. They have moderated the forecast, but it's still not pleasant. Crop condition ratings will continue to deteriorate until there is enough general rain to stabilize soil moisture conditions. The coming blast of heat is poorly timed to pollination. Temperatures have been cooling at night, which will be even more important after pollination. Warm nights push maturity and shorten the fill time, which is not good for the yield. USDA showed how hard it was to whittle down burdensome carryovers Wednesday. Wheat has made some progress, but it still takes its crop disaster just to get the wheat carryover below a billion bushel next year. The corn market didn't need that extra 900,000 more acres, which buffers the weather. It will take a serious reduction in corn and soybean yields to get carryovers down so that markets can sustain gains. The balance sheets show how hard it is to get the corn carryover below 2 billion bushel. One more positive perspective of the reports is that they are unlikely to show larger carryovers in subsequent reports. Grain soy started the week out higher to sharply higher, with corn trading above old the trading range in what appeared to be an upside breakout, with soybeans gapping higher in what appeared to be a midway measuring gap. Markets often pause after breakouts, but corn failed to hold support above 409 in December. The breakout now looks more like a bull trap. The soybean market filled its potential measuring gap, and here too needs to generate some kind of recovery late week for an improved weekly close to avoid a major failure. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at Comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.